I'm going to ask Dr. Douglas to read the Word of God for us this morning, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and then directly after that, our brother Eric, God willing, will bring the necessary announcements. So Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, please. Thank you.
Let us all turn together to the Word of God. You have the reference already in your mind, and there's hardly need to be given a reminder, but it's Luke chapter 2, Luke's Gospel, and the chapter 2. We're going to begin the reading at the verse 36. We do ask you to keep remembering those who are suffering affliction at this time, and reference has been made already to those who have to walk the valley of sorrow through the loss of loved ones. We do remember them earnestly in prayer. And I have reason to speak of our sister Paula's aunt, because her aunt Jean, if I go back to former times in Monyslane, she was a dear soul who loved the Lord and faithfully served him. We keep her in fond remembrance, and even earlier still, we go back to those times when her husband was alive. And what a tower of strength he was in the congregation. He gave me personally much encouragement. He was a prayer warrior. He was zealous for God, and together they served the Savior with all their heart. And that part of the country is the poorer for their passing. They had only one son, Mark, who's been in Australia for some years. And my understanding is Mark has come back just for the time for the family. We pray that Mark too will have the comfort of God and the presence of the Lord made known, that he and his family will have the strengthening of the Lord also. We're going to read from this chapter in the Gospel, Luke 2 and verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now we're talking about the earthly parents of our Savior. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, even though, as you see, she didn't understand perfectly what the Lord had said. Those words had registered just the same. She kept these things in her heart. Our reading finishes with verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word and the preaching of his name this day. Amen.
Let us all open the Word of God again, please, at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And with our Bibles open before us, let's call upon the author of this book, the very God of heaven himself, and ask him to write his word upon our hearts. Let's pray and come before the Lord with honesty and with sincerity and with openness of heart. And let's just entreat the Lord to speak to us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank thee again for thy word. We confess, O God, that we feel so unworthy to be able to hold this book in our hands, to be able to speak upon it, Lord, and we feel so unworthy even to come before thy throne in and of ourselves, Lord. There's no good thing that dwells within these hearts of ours, naturally speaking. We thank thee for the Son of God who has clothed us in his own righteousness and shed his blood for us and invites us even to come to thy footstool of mercy. Lord, we need thee so much. We realize today that thy word is like a glass, it's like a mirror. And so often, Lord, we see ourselves in it. And O God, we pray today that thou wilt be pleased to open our eyes and open our hearts, Lord, and open our very ears and let us hear thy voice. Lord, do a work in all of our lives and give the help now of heaven. Grant the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, may the Savior be exalted. Hear and answer prayer and do a work in people's lives this morning that will count for time and for eternity. We humbly pray with thanksgiving for thy glory and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Perhaps one of the biggest problems in church circles in our day and generation is that it's relatively easy to go through all of the motions and to keep up appearances and to deceive others and perhaps even deceive ourselves into thinking that all is well spiritually, when in fact that is far from the case. We can have a form of godliness But at the same time, a sense of backsliding in our hearts, a respectable backsliding, if you like. I believe it's extremely prevalent in our land, in our day and generation, and even in our churches, that there's a sort of respectable backsliding that's very, very common. Whenever we look here at Mary and Joseph in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we read in verse number 41 that they went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And so they're doing that which was their custom, that which was their duty to do, going up to Jerusalem to the house of the Lord. They had done this from the very moment that the Savior was born, and they had kept up that custom and that principle of bringing the Lord to the temple of Jerusalem now for 12 years. And verse number 43 says, when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So here we have two individuals. And they're saved individuals, Mary and Joseph. They have acknowledged their need for the Savior, and they have acknowledged that there's a God in heaven. And they're endeavoring to be faithful in all of the external things. They've gone up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord there. They have gone there to keep the feast of the Passover, to remember the Lord's grace and mercy in the nation of Israel. They have gone up there to enter into the spirit of sacrifice. The lamb has been slain, its blood has been shed, and they're showing a form of external obedience. We might even say that they are showing more obedience outwardly than many professing Christians are showing in our day and generation. And it becomes immediately evident as well that they are found in the company of God's people. And they are accepted and endorsed and embraced as God's people themselves by those round about them. The reality is that they seem to be very much content as they leave the house of the Lord at Jerusalem with other believing people. And it speaks there about their acquaintance and their kinsfolk, so their friends, their family were doing the same things that they were doing. They're leaving Jerusalem now, leaving the house of the Lord to all intents and purposes. They're content. Their consciences are clear that they haven't done anything wrong. We don't read about any vice or any particular sins in their lives. And it seems that externally all is well. But there's one big problem. And that problem is seen in verse number 43. Jesus tarried behind at Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And then verse 44, but they, supposing him to have been in their company, went a day's journey. And all the while they're not enjoying, and they're not experiencing, and they're not conscious of the presence of the Savior with them. Now the Lord has not left them. The Lord has tarried at Jerusalem. And they have just got caught up with all of the externals of religion and attendance in the sanctuary of the Lord, and caught up with the spirit of worship, and caught up with fellowship, and they have left the Lord behind, and they have gone on before him, and sadly they have gone on without him. And they were convinced, absolutely convinced, that somewhere in their company the Lord was there, but they were wrong. They had gone on before the Lord, and they felt and they were sure and certain that the Lord was in their midst, but the reality was they had gone on without him. And they were not experiencing his presence, they were not enjoying his fellowship, they were not in speaking terms with him, but they were still going through all of the outward forms of religion. And you know, there's so much here today that we can commend Mary and Joseph for. But the reality is they had lost out. They had lost out in their experience with the Son of God himself, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that the experience of Mary and Joseph here in Luke's Gospel chapter 2 is the experience of many, many Christian people. Many church-going people in our day and in our generation who might say that it was a form of respectable backsliding. Respectable backsliding. And that's our subject for this morning. Respectable backsliding. And I want you to examine your heart in the light of Holy Scripture. And I want you to ask yourself the question this morning, am I in the place with God? Am I in the place of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I in the same place with the Lord today that I was a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or maybe even a week ago? Am I in the place of God consciousness this morning? Or has it to be said of me that I've grown cold, I have gone on ahead of the Lord, I've lost out with the Lord, and maybe whenever you examine and search your hearts, you've got further away from the Lord than you've really thought, and there's a sense of respectability about your backslidings. Three simple thoughts that I'd like you to consider this morning. Verses 43 and 44, we have an unintentional removal from the Savior. They had removed themselves from the Savior, but they had done it unintentionally. I don't think today any true child of God sets out to become a backslider. I don't believe anybody truly commences the Christian life having been born again of the Spirit of God, having repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think anybody sets out in the Christian life and makes it their purpose and their intention that I'm going to become a backslider. Backsliding very often begins unintentionally. And we need to recognize that there's nothing in these hearts of ours, naturally speaking, that will cause us to walk with God. Robert Robinson, in his great hymn, says, I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And furthermore, not all backsliders go back to the pub. Not all backsliders fall into deep and open sin. We have this concept today that whenever somebody confesses that they're backslidden, we think, well, you must have been living in deep sin. You must have completely lost your testimony. You must have got so far away from the Lord and from the things of God. But friends, not all backsliders go back to the pub. Not all backsliders fall into open sin. Not all backsliders outwardly lose their testimony. Mary and Joseph were in the church crowd, if you like, and everybody was there with them, and they just felt that everything was entirely normal. But the reality is they had lost out with the Lord. Many people who have grown cold at heart, many people who have lost out with God, are still attending God's house on the Lord's day. They're sitting in churches just like this. They're raising their families, they're working hard, they're doing well in life. They're keeping up appearances. They're still in speaking terms with God's people. They come to and from the house of God, but unintentionally have lost the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, lost the presence of the Savior in their lives. And I dare say that our province today, our country, is full of people just like this. And maybe unknown to the pastor or the elders or your brothers and sisters in Christ, it may be that our churches today are full of people just like this. And it may be that perhaps if you're absolutely honest, unintentionally, you're at a distance today from the Savior. You are removed from Him. You're not really on praying ground. You're not really in fellowship with Him. You're not conscious of His presence in your life. You haven't heard His voice for a long, long time, perhaps, and unintentionally, you have become a respectable backslider. You know, you could be in the ministry and be like this. You could stand behind a pulpit on the Lord's day and be just like this. You could hold office in a church and be a respectable backslider. You could be in the membership of a church. You could be in some form of Christian service, But the reality is you have lost out with the Lord and you're not in the place with Christ that you once were in. It's a remarkable thing that this can happen. And you'll notice, as this has happened in the experience of Mary and Joseph, their initial ignorance. It says in verse number 43 that the Lord Jesus, the child Jesus, tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They were not aware that they had left Jerusalem and the Lord Jesus was still in Jerusalem. They were unaware of it. It says there, they knew not of it. And then you come into verse number 44, but they, supposing him to have been in the company. They supposed, they just took it for granted that the Lord is with us. We have left Jerusalem and there's no doubt at all in their minds that somewhere in that large company, somebody had brought the 12-year-old Christ with them. And they did not know that they had removed themselves from him. They supposed that he was still in their company. They assumed that he was there. And it seems that for a period of time, they did not even miss him. And beloved, that can happen so easily in our lives as well. Remember Samson? In Judges chapter 16 and verse number 20, whenever he had had the locks of his hair cut off, and that symbolized he had broke his Nazarite vows. And then whenever the Philistines come in, the enemy come in like a flood, Samson awoke out of his sleep and says, I will arise and go out as at other times, just like Mary and Joseph arose and they went out from Jerusalem, out from the temple, as they had done 12 years previously, every single year. And they wist not, Samson wist not, he wasn't conscious, that the blessing of the Lord, the anointing of the Spirit of God, the power of God, had left his life. It was bad enough that he had lost out with God, but the greater tragedy was, initially, he was ignorant of it. He wasn't aware of it. And so it is as well with the church at Laodicea. They were rich. They were increased with goods. They were self-seeking. They were self-sufficient. They were self-satisfied. And yet the Lord said to them, and yet thou knewest not that thou art wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. And they didn't even know it. And the Lord was outside the door of the church. And he was knocking in the door of the church. And they were all inside having a good time with each other. And they didn't even realize that the Lord was outside the door of the church. I wonder today, friends, are we worshiping a departed Savior? Are we paying lip service to a Lord and to a Christ that we're not really in fellowship with? Are we ignorant of where we are and what we are spiritually? It may be today that you're convinced that you're a Christian and maybe not saved at all. It may be today you're convinced that you're walking with God, but that is not the case at all. Mary and Joseph, they knew not that the Lord was still in Jerusalem. They supposed that he was in their company, but that was far, far from reality. I had an awful experience some time ago. Parked the car in a car park in Belfast and took the boys in. We were doing a wee bit of shopping just for an hour or so. Came back to the car park. And I always make it my intention, you know, if you've paid for a ticket in your car, that you're going to get back about 10 minutes before the ticket expires. Well, I got back about 20 minutes before the ticket was supposed to expire in the car. And there was a yellow wheel clamp in my car. There was a ticket under the windscreen wipers, and there was a huge yellow sticker on the side of the car with the words "untaxed vehicle" written across it. And I tell you, initially, I thought, well, somebody's having a joke here, because I always, 25, 26, 27 years of driving, whatever it is, I always get the tax reminder, and I straight away send off a check or ring them up, and I always pay my tax. And I initially thought that somebody is wrong. Somebody's playing a prank on me. I thought Jeremy Beadle or some of these guys was going to come out, and I looked around and thought, somebody must know me, and they know my car, and they've gone and done this, and they're going to come out, and they're having a laugh. And I was absolutely convinced that there's some type of mistake. I always pay my tax. And then after the sort of shock went off, I got a little bit irate and a little bit annoyed and a little bit angry. And I opened the thing and I rang the number and I thought, well, somebody's going to lose their job over this. Heads are going to rule over this. I'm going to let them have it. And I rang up the number and I told them who I was. I gave them my car registration. I says, my car has been clamped in Belfast and I have been accused of not paying my car tax. And I always pay my tax. And the girl looked up the records and says, well, not according to us. Your car seems to be on tax, sir. And I was really starting to panic. It was the most awful experience in my life. And I said, I always pay my tax. I always get a tax from, you used to get a tax disc, I said, on your window. And every time you walked past it, you knew when my tax was due. And then you went to the post office and you got a receipt. I says, that doesn't happen anymore. You send out a tax reminder. I get the tax reminder. I pay my tax. And she says, sir, not necessarily. We usually send out a tax reminder. But we don't always send one out. And then I began to get worried. And then I rang up the tax people and they says, no, your car is not taxed. And I'm thinking, I have to go. I have an appointment to preach about half an hour from here. I've got wheel clamped. I says, what do I do? She says, you're going to have to get your V5 or something. Take it to the post. I says, I can't get home because I'm stuck in Belfast, clamped. And this was awful. And I got fined. And I'm confessing everything here. I got fined I could find £80 for the tax. I had to pay in arrears. I had to tax my car then a year in advance, and then I had to pay to get this clamp off. And it was the most stressful thing in all the world. And yet, friends, I was absolutely 100% certain in my mind that my car was taxed, but it wasn't. And if it wasn't taxed, it probably wasn't insured. And I felt like a criminal, I felt like a gangster, and I was saying, look, I promise you, I didn't try to tell you, talk about being humbled. I started off thinking somebody's got to laugh, then I got angry and I thought someone's going to pay for this, and then all of a sudden, I am so sorry, I promise I didn't do it intentionally, I promise I didn't mean it to be this way, and I tell you, it was awful. But I was convinced. Absolutely sure, absolutely certain that the thing was right, but it was wrong. And you can be the same in a spiritual sense. Absolutely sure, certain, convinced that the Lord's presence is real in your life. But let me ask you this morning, is it their initial ignorance? Notice as well the solemn reality. Verse number 45, when they found him not, they began to seek him. We haven't seen the Lord Jesus for a little while. And they began to look around. And then they began to maybe ask a few questions. And all of a sudden they discovered he's not here. He's not with us. And this was a solemn reality. They had lost him. And I'm sure it was very difficult for them to admit that in the company of other believing people, especially whenever they were accountable and they were responsible for him. And yet the sad reality was that it was true. And they had lost out with the Savior. And maybe that's the solemn reality in your life. As you look at your heart today and you've strayed away, you've got away, as it were, from Jerusalem. You've got away from the place of sacrifice. You've got away from the place of supplication, the place of prayer. You've got away from the place of service. You're no longer in the place of prayer the way you once were. You're no longer serving the Lord the way you once did. The principle of sacrifice in your life is gone. You're no longer worshiping the Lord the way you once did. And you find yourself today, and the solemn reality is, I am not where I once was in my Christian life. What are the reasons? Why did this happen? Maybe they just got distracted. Maybe they got ushered out of the temple and they had said, well, we'll find him, we'll wait, we'll tarry here, he'll come out with us. Maybe he's gone on before. Maybe they just got distracted. Maybe they were just too busy, consumed with other things. Maybe the whole social aspect of going to and from the house of God had overtaken them. Maybe they had just got careless. But there's always a reason in our lives why we grow cold towards the Lord. And there's always real valid reasons why we lose out with the Lord. Maybe we get disappointed. Maybe some Christian lets us down. And that begins to consume us a little bit. We get bitter, we get disappointed. Somebody fails us and somebody lets us down. Maybe we get discouraged. Maybe we get distracted. Those are things that can cause us to lose out with the Lord. Disappointment, discouragement, distractions, things that divert us and get our eyes off the Lord and off the cross and off the things that really matter. And like the runner running a race, we get distracted and we look around and then we begin to lose out. Maybe for some it's affluence, doing well in life. Don't really feel our need for a prayer. I remember a lady that I knew many years ago who was involved in full-time Christian work, and she lived by faith. And she had to trust the Lord for everything, every bill, every check she wrote. She had to trust the Lord for her finance. And then she married a very wealthy man. I think he was a dentist. Now, she didn't lose out with the Lord, but what she did say was, I have married into this and I need to be so careful, because before, for years since I got converted, up until I get married, I had to trust the Lord for everything. But now I've got a wealthy husband and finance and bills and paying the rent and the rates, whatever it is, it's no problem anymore. And it's so easy not to have to rely on the Lord in the way that I once did. And she actually broke down. She says, I kind of miss that. Affluence. Apathy. We lose the burden for the lost. We lose the burden for our families. We lose the burden for God's name to be uplifted. Maybe as well, ambition. I want to do well in life. I want to run on ahead and chase this dream, whatever it is. It might be a business venture. It might be some great project or some position that we're seeking after, and we can so easily lose out with the Lord. It might even be our social life outstrips our spiritual life. I think this is what happened with Mary and Joseph. They were amongst their kinsfolk, their family, their acquaintances, their friends, and they were leaving the house of the Lord, and it was a joyous occasion, undoubtedly. And yet they were losing out with the Lord all the while, and I think over the last couple of years, many, many people have lost out with God. All of this crisis and pandemic started, and many people were saying, you know, this will draw people back to the Lord. This will stir up the church. This will awaken us out of our slumber and out of our sleep. And many people are no longer found in the place of worship. And it may be because of social media and all the rest of it that we have lost out with the Lord. And yet still among the church crowd, still professing faith, still having a desire for the things of God, but we have missed out on the most important thing of all. Notice as well the declared duration. Verse 44, they went a day's journey. Didn't seem all that long, but yet one full day without the Savior, one full day without the Son of God is certainly too long. Can I ask you, how long has it been since you really were conscious of the blessing of God in your life? How long has it been since you really earnestly prayed and sought the Lord and enjoyed prayer? How long has it been since you were conscious of the Lord drawing near in your life, in the secret place, in the public place, in the private place? How long has it been since God really spoke to your heart? So easy, isn't it, to lose out with God? Maybe some have to say this morning, where is the blessedness I knew? When first I saw the Lord, where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his words? Notice the sobering results. You know, you can sense that they all of a sudden became greatly distressed. You would understand that. You know, it's an awful thing if you've got children of your own or maybe grandchildren and you're out with them, maybe in a supermarket or a shopping center or a play park, and all of a sudden you look around and think, now where did he go or where is she? And all of a sudden this stress comes in. You fear that you've lost them. You fear what might happen, and Mary and Joseph were the same. They became greatly distressed, and they began to seek him amongst their acquaintance and their kinsfolk. And it says later on that they sought him with great sorrow. Verse number 48, we have sought thee sorrowing, and the word sorrowing there, it means with great grief, almost to the point of being tormented, because they felt we have lost out, and we need to get the Savior, we need to find him again, and we need to see the blessing of God in our lives once again. an unintentional removal from the Savior. Notice, secondly, time is rushing on so quickly, an unequivocal retracing of their steps. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. They began to really seek him. It was only a day's journey, but this is their son. This is the one that Mary says, my soul hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. And if we have lost out, friends, with God, it's not enough for us to say, well, that doesn't affect my salvation. I'm still going to heaven, and that's all that really matters. If we have lost out with God, we must stop and retrace our steps and go back to the place where we lost him. It says in verse 45, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And this required honesty. There's no point going on trying to pretend that all is well, because they're not going to enjoy the journey if they're not sure that the Lord himself is with them. This wasn't something that was going to help them, and it's certainly not going to glorify him. And maybe we need to be absolutely honest. Have we lost out with God? You know, if somebody was to challenge you personally, have you lost out with God? If somebody was to look at your life or my life and testimony and come and put an arm around us and say, now, brother, sister, I'm concerned about you. You seem to have lost your glow. You seem to have lost your warmth, your zeal, your passion for the things of God. We don't see you as much as we once did. It seems that you've drawn back. And someone was to challenge you about that, how would you respond? Would you melt under that? Would you say, brother, you're right, I've lost out with God? Or would you get irritable and self-defensive and irate and annoyed that someone has even challenged you? Maybe we have to be absolutely honest about this. They sought the Lord honestly. They sought the Lord immediately. There's no point going on another day's journey. We need to turn around and retrace our steps. It's not going to help us to wait any longer. We need to seek the Lord now. We need to get back immediately. And if you don't know the blessing of God in your life today, and you're not even sure whether you're a Christian or not, or maybe you're backslidden, there's no point, friends, going on any further. The Bible says you should seek the Lord while he may be found. Do it immediately. And then they had to do it earnestly. This is our son. We love him with all of our hearts. And we don't want to go on without him. And they earnestly began seeking the Lord because he was the one that they loved above all others. The Son of God. The Son of Mary. The Savior of the world. Maybe, friends, our problem today is that we don't really love the Lord the way we should. And we don't really count it that big a thing if we lose out with the Lord. But if we really love him, and all of a sudden we become unconscious of him amongst us, but we love him more than any other thing, surely we will begin to seek him earnestly. They sought him as well with humility. I'm sure it was a difficult thing for them to turn round to their kinsfolk and their acquaintance and say, you know, we have done an awful thing. We have left Jerusalem, and we have been traveling now for a day, and we didn't even notice that we have left our son behind in the temple. And it took humility for them to admit that. And sometimes pride within our hearts won't allow us to confess before God and before our friends and loved ones that we have lost out with the Lord. It took humility. It was something that they had to do solemnly. Verse 48, we sought thee sorrowing. We have perhaps convinced ourselves that the Christian life is all about having a good time. We talk about going to church to enjoy it. Well, I enjoyed church today, or I didn't enjoy church today. I enjoyed the worship, I enjoyed the sermon, I enjoyed that person who testified, I enjoyed the supper, I enjoyed the fellowship of God's people. And we have this idea that it's all about having a good time and it's all about the feel-good factor. Now, we should enjoy the Lord. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But the Bible says there's such a thing as confession of sin. The Bible says there's such a thing as the chastening hand of God. The Bible says there's such a thing as having the burden of the Lord. And these are things that initially we don't enjoy. The Word of God says, if my people which are called by my name humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And those are things that maybe we don't enjoy, but they're solemn things that need to be done in order for us to enjoy the Lord. They began to retrace their steps meticulously. Every step of the way, now where is he? And they thought about every corner they turned, every person they met, and they made their way all the way back to the temple in Jerusalem, seeking the Lord every step of the way. Some half-hearted or ham-fisted little confession or profession or renewal of their faith or rededication is not going to cut it. They have to be absolutely meticulous and make sure that they've got the blessing of the Lord back in their lives. They became absolutely desperate. And maybe that's where the Church of Jesus Christ in 2022 needs to be, a point of desperation. The prophet Hosea records the word of the Lord as saying in verse 15 of chapter 5, God says, I will go and return to my place, till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. And God has brought this nation of ours through so much affliction, the troubles, the credit crunch, all of the confusion around Brexit, and then the pandemic over the last couple of years now. And now we look at world events and we're sitting in a knife edge, and still the Church of Jesus Christ sleeps. And whenever you're sleeping, you don't really know who's with you and who isn't. And the Lord's calling his people here in Hosea chapter 5 to seek him early. The Shunammite in Song of Solomon chapter 5 heard the call of her beloved. And she says, I hear him and he's knocking on the door, but I'm in bed, I'm comfortable. I have put off my garments for the day, I've retired for the evening, I'm not going to answer the door. And she lies on and she sort of slumbers and sleeps until at last she realizes the knocking has stopped. I wonder, is he still there? And she goes out and she says, my beloved has withdrawn himself. And all of a sudden she's out into the streets and she's asking people, have you seen my beloved? You see, Mary and Joseph had to go right back to the place where they lost him. You know, ever you lose your wallet, your car keys, your mobile phone, you'll always get somebody who will ask you the question, well, where did you lose it? I'm often running about like a headless chicken, trying to, you know, you have to be somewhere for a certain time, can't find my car keys, can't find my phone, can't find my wallet. Well, where did you leave it? Where did you lose it? Well, if I knew where I lost it, you know where we're going here? Or it has to be somewhere. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say to somebody whenever they've lost something? It has to be somewhere. As if you're looking for something, it doesn't even exist anymore. Of course it's somewhere. The problem is I can't find it. I don't know. And if I knew where it was, I would go and get it, but I can't find it. But Mary and Joseph, they knew, well, we last saw him at the temple. And maybe if you're honest then, you've lost out with the Lord, you know where and how you lost out with him, and you need to retrace your steps and go back to the place where you lost out. And it only took one day to lose him, but it took 3 days, according to verse number 46, to find him. Sometimes people who have lost out with the Lord lament and say, you know, it's so difficult to get back. It was hard enough maybe humbling myself and coming to the Lord the first time, but see now that I've lost out with the Lord and it's gone on for a period of time, it's so difficult to get back. But get back you must. There's an unintentional removal from the Savior. There's an unequivocal retracing of their steps. And then there's, praise God, an ultimate regaining of their situation. And by situation, I mean the position that they were in previously before they lost the blessing of the Lord. Look at verse number 46. It says, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. The Bible says those that seek God early shall find him. The Lord says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all of your hearts. And they found him in the very place where they left him. And it's lovely that whenever they found him, there was no heavy rebukes, there was no chastisement, there was no scorn, there was no rejection. The Lord received him, just as it was for Peter. Whenever the Lord came to Peter as he was standing in the seashore that day, he just said to Peter, "Do you love me?" Whenever the prodigal returned from the far country, his father ran and had compassion and fell upon him and kissed his neck. And whenever they found the Savior, there was great relief. There was great reconciliation. Undoubtedly, there was great rejoicing, and I'm sure there was great resolve. We will never allow this to happen again. We have lost something so precious. We have sought thee sorrowing, and we want to experience the blessing of the Lord in our lives forevermore. And then verse number 51 says, he went down with them. This time they left the house of the Lord, not as they had done a few days previously without the Lord. This time they left the house of the Lord, and things had been put right and things had been made right, and they went back home completely different than the last time. You can take the presence of the Lord with you. And it's my prayer that for all of us, as we leave the house of the Lord this morning, we will do so in fellowship with him, whereby we're conscious of his presence in our lives, whereby we can hear his voice and we can speak to him and pray with him and have fellowship with him and enjoy him. But can I ask you, is that your experience in these days? Are you really walking with God? Or are you a respectable backslider? It may have been days. It may have been weeks, months, maybe even years, that this respectable backsliding has been a reality in your life. But the book of Joel reminds us that God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. It's not enough to know the truth. It's not enough to believe the truth. It's not enough even to be able to articulate the truth to others. It must be real in our hearts and lives personally. Mary and Joseph never lost their respectability. They never lost their testimony. They never fell into deep sin, but they did lose the blessing of God in their lives for a season. Maybe you've lost it yourself. And you didn't intend things to go so far. But let me ask you today, is God real? Is God real in your experience? Maybe nobody knows anything about it. I remember a number of years ago sitting in the home of a particular woman. She was a lovely, lovely lady. She was very faithful in her church attendance. And I remember sitting and talking to her, and her husband was out of the house for a little while, and we were talking about the things of God. And I challenged her about her soul, and she just began to cry. I mean, she just began to really pour her heart and weep. And she just didn't know where she was spiritually. She was sitting in church every Sunday just the way you are. And she just said, "I just don't know." And she began to talk about, "Maybe I'm backslid, maybe I just don't know." And she just didn't know what to do. It was an awful thing. And then about a year after that, her husband came to faith. And she came to faith as well. And it was just like a light come on. And Jesus Christ became so real in her life. And in the life of her home and family as well. But it took humility for her to admit that. And maybe today you're like that this morning. And if somebody was to ask you, "Are you saved? Are you walking with God?" You would say, "Well, I just don't know." But that's not the way it should be. You can leave the house of the Lord today knowing the reality of Christ in your life. Why not retrace your steps if you've lost out with God? If you've grown cold at heart, if you've lost assurance, if you've lost your usefulness for God, or if you've never been saved, or you just don't know, don't leave Jerusalem this morning without seeking the Savior.